Bibles, please, to John chapter 8. Last week I started a message that maybe some of the hardest sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ found in the Bible. He is talking in John chapter 8 to the elite religious order, the Pharisees. They were legalists. They believed in salvation by works. They rejected the Messiah. And he tells them very plainly in John chapter 8 and verse 21, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Now, I can tell people that if you don't repent and believe the gospel, you're going to die in your sins and spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Jesus Christ is the omniscient God, God manifest in the flesh. And he is telling these Christ-rejecting Pharisees, you are going to die in your sins. And where I go, you cannot come. Because you're going to have your sins with you throughout all eternity. In essence, that is what Jesus is saying. And it's not the first time that he spoke that plainly to Christ rejectors. And later on in John chapter 8, verses 36 through 47, he lays them out. And he tells them that they were of their father the devil, that he was a murderer from the beginning and a liar. And he explains to them, you don't receive my word, you're going to die in your sins. Now look at verse 24. I said therefore unto you, it's as if he's saying, I want you to get this point. I want you to understand what I'm saying. So I'm going to say it again. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now that's true for everybody. You don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God sent by the Father to die on the cross, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross of Calvary, to offer himself, his body, his blood, and then be buried and raised again the third day. If you don't believe that message, if you don't embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to die in your sins. Which means that you still own your sins. They still belong to you. They weren't laid upon Christ when he died on the cross because you still have them throughout all eternity. Now today, I'm going to get more specific. I'm going to ask a question and I'm going to answer it. Who shall die in their sins? Who are the people that are going to die in their sins? You say, well, this is an awful subject. It is an awful subject. It's one that most preachers never touch. In our day of political correctness and feel-good religion, number one, those who have never been changed by the sovereign grace of God in the new birth are going to die in their sins. Jesus told this to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, and I believe Nicodemus later was saved. But Jesus said this in John chapter 3, verse 3, and also verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you. And those words verily in the Old English simply mean truly. He's emphasizing this is a truth that you better get a hold of. That you better acknowledge. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So until a man is born again by the Spirit of God, he remains in his natural sinful condition. He's dead in trespasses and in sins. The natural man has no ability or desire to come to Christ for salvation. All you have to do is witness to people. An overwhelming majority of people are going to reject the message of free grace. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Embrace Him. Trust Him. Believe on Him. And He'll give you eternal life. Not interested. I'm satisfied with my religion. I go to church. I've been baptized. I'm a member of this and that. But nothing about being born again. Nothing about being changed by the power of Almighty God. The fact is, people think they're not bad enough to need to be changed. You see, a person who's not born again does not possess a spiritual nature. That's why we need life from God. We need a spiritual nature from God. When Adam sinned, we died spiritually. As in Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says it this way, but the natural man. Who is the natural man? That's somebody who's never been born again. Somebody who was unsaved. Someone who has not believed on Christ. Someone who possesses only one nature, and that is the nature of flesh, of carnality, the sinful nature inherited at birth from Adam. That's the natural man. I was one. And I know this by experience. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Not only does he not want to receive them, he thinks they're foolishness. When a man can't see or enter into the kingdom of God, it means that in effect he remains in the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, under his dominion and under his bondage. Those who remain in an unchanged condition will ultimately die in their sins and spend an eternity with the devil and his fallen angels. Jesus said as much. He said it in Matthew chapter 24, or 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So those who are not born of God are going to die in their sins. So how do I know if I've been born of God? You know if you've been born of God because your whole life changes. Your attitude changes. Your mindset changes. Your purpose of life changes. There's such a drastic change, it's likened unto being translated out of darkness into light, out of deadness into life. He If you've never been spiritually made alive and changed by God's Spirit, you're going to die in your sins. Well, how do I know if I've ever been changed? Well, if you don't desire, if you have no desire for the things of God, if you don't desire to feed on the Word of God, pray, assemble with the people of God for worship, witness of the glory of Christ, live a life that's dedicated to God, it's very probable that you've never been born again. I know that's pretty rough, especially in a world where everybody thinks they're born again. Everybody thinks they're going to heaven. But when God changes a person in a new birth, their affections, desires, taste, companions, purpose of living also changes. I'll never forget when I was first saved, I didn't have to do anything but live for the Lord for my friends to completely reject me. And I wasn't trying to be mean or nerdy or anything like that. I just was saved. And I wanted to tell them about it. I was excited about it. And I'll never forget the very first one of my friends, Kevin Hamilton, when I witnessed to him the very day that I was saved. I thought, he's going to be the first person that comes to know the Lord that I'm going to witness to. I was so excited, went in there with anticipation that Kevin is going to repent and believe the gospel. And I told him, Kevin, I've been saved. Today, you're going to be saved. Jesus Christ is the way. You need to repent of your wickedness, because Kevin, you're wicked, and on your way to hell, and trust Jesus. And I thought, okay, Ross. I thought he was going to say, okay, I'm in. I want all of it. And he said, you're crazy, Ross. You talk about sticking a pin in a balloon and letting all the air out. I just didn't understand. It was like, Kevin, are you stupid? I'm offering you the greatest thing that you could ever hope for. Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, heaven. And he called me crazy. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He also insulted me. He said, this is a phase, man. You're going to be right back with us. And I'll give you 6 months on the outside. Oh, man, I wanted to punch him when he said that. I didn't know you weren't supposed to do that. When you were saved. But that was my first reaction. And I said, when I went out of his house, it burned within my heart. I thought, I don't ever want to go back to where I was. Because I woke up in misery almost every day over my sin, over my condition. And God had saved me. He had changed me. And 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I realize that it may be different for some people. It may be more dramatic for some than others. Some people are raised in church and they come to know the Lord, and it's not as dramatic. But for me, it was like a change from darkness to light. From deadness to life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you've never had desires for God, for His Word, you haven't been made new. I couldn't explain it when I was first saved. I remember my gramps asking me, what in the world has happened to you, Tommy? Just a month ago, you was the most wicked kid I knew. And now all you want to do is talk about Jesus. All you want to do is bring up the Bible. Would you turn over a new leaf? I said, no, Gramps, I didn't have a leaf. God saved me. He changed my whole life. So I ask you today, have you ever been changed by the power of God? Do you have a desire for the things of God, or are you yet in your sins? I've made this statement so many times, if you've never been changed, you've never been saved. And if you've never been saved and you don't believe on the Lord, you're going to die in your sins. So who are the people that are going to die in their sins? People who are not born again, not born of the Spirit. Now let me get a little bit more specific. Who are going to die in their sins? Those who have never repented of their sins are going to die in their sins. Repentance, metanoia, something like that in the Greek. It's a change of mind about one's present condition before God. And I believe that change of mind that is wrought in you also causes you to want to forsake sin and turn to Christ. That's what real repentance is characterized by. It is always associated with faith in Christ. Repentance naturally implies something that most people do not want to admit. You're wrong. God's right. You're sinful. God's holy. You see, repentance implies that you're brought to the place where you see your moral depravity, your corruption, your defilement, and that you're undone before a holy God. A penitent sinner sees that he's broken and rebelled against the laws of God, and as such is worthy of condemnation and wrath. The wages of sin is death. That's what your sins are going to pay you. Eternal death. Unless Jesus takes them from you. So when a sinner repents, he is admitting that he's guilty and that he's wrong and broken and that God is right. Someone said that repentance is taking sides with God against yourself. It's admitting that what God's Word says about your sinful condition, that all of that is true, and that your behavior is unacceptable to God. Repentance is a pretty bitter drink. Because everybody thinks they're all right. Everybody thinks they're okay. How dare you, Brother Ross, tell me that I'm a sinner? Who are you to judge? Well, all I'm doing is I'm telling you what the Bible says. And I'm not your judge. I'm trying to keep you from dying in your sins so you won't face the judge at the great white throne. But see, when you're lost and you're stubborn and you're in your sins and you're self-righteous, because no matter how sinful a person may be, he's still self-righteous. Because He doesn't think he's as bad as the guy that he knows down the street. He's worse than, yeah, you want, I'll tell you, that guy, go talk to him. He needs it more than I do. If anybody ever says that to you, mark it down, they're lost. When a person genuinely repents, he sees the true nature and consequences of sin in light of the holiness and the righteousness of God. A penitent sinner no longer will stay in his undone condition, but will, with the aid of God's Spirit, flee to Jesus Christ for cleansing and forgiveness. By the way, the new birth comes first, because you got to have life before there can be any action. You got to have a new nature and a new mind and a new will in order to exercise it towards God. So God, the Spirit, has to give you life and give you the gift of repentance. But it's illustrated greatly by the prodigal son. The guy had everything in the physical realm. He had inherited quite a bit of money and possessions from his dad, and he wasted it on riotous living, on partying and wickedness and ungodliness. Finally, he didn't have nothing, and he was so bad off, he, as a Jew, was hired by somebody to feed their hogs. And while he's sitting there around these hogs, and he's seeing them eating, he's so hungry, he's thinking about eating what they're eating. And here's what the Bible says, Luke 15, verse 17 through 20. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. The change of mind, while he was sitting there in the hog slop, turned into a change of action and feelings of contrition over his sin before God. Now, it's sad, but it's true, that most religious people in our world have never experienced the grace of genuine spirit-wrought conviction and repentance. In fact, I can't remember the last time I heard anybody preach on the subject of repentance. Oh, you don't need that in today's religion. Just give them to believe something. Get them to bow their head. Repeat this prayer. Join the church. Get them baptized. Put them in a choir. That's all you got to do. No. Jesus said this so plainly, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Meaning, you're going to die in your sins for eternity. That's what Jesus said. But see, most people feel as though they're good enough to get to heaven and not bad enough to go to hell. You're deceiving yourself. I don't care who I meet, how good they may be. And most people, when I measure them against me, they're a whole lot better than me. But that's not how you measure whether you're going to heaven or not. There's none good, no, not one. It's all relative, the way we look at things. But in the sight of God, there's none good. None good enough to get to heaven. Because we're broken, we're sinners. Just one sin is enough to keep you out of heaven. And I guarantee you got a lot more than one sin. Say, oh, you don't know me. I don't have to know you. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. What man can know it? There's religious people who think... I met a guy when I was out visiting. I've told the story many times and it flabbergasted me. I told him I was a sinner saved by grace. He said, wait a minute. You're either saved and not a sinner anymore. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you talking about? He said, well, I've been saved for 20 years. Haven't sinned in 20 years. Now, this is when I was a little younger and I had a little bit more vim and vigor to me. I kind of got up and I said, you're lying, man. He said, what? I said, and that's sin. Because if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You're lying. When I knocked on your door, I knew when you were in there watching the Reds game, were you loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? He started getting mad at me. And I said, the second commandment is like unto the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And by this time, he's telling me to get off his porch. I'm with another guy, Brother Correa. Brother Correa said, come on, preacher, we got to get out. This guy's mad. I couldn't take it. I'm walking off the porch, and I had to have the last word. I said, and furthermore, here I am out, it's a hot summer day preaching the gospel, and you didn't even offer me a drink of water in the name of Jesus. That's a sin too. Guy slammed the door. But he was a religious man that had convinced himself that he never sinned. That's completely wrong. You see, if that's your opinion, then Jesus Christ never came to save you. Because Mark 2:17 says, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So if you've never seen yourself as a sinner before God and admitted your guilt before Him, you've never truly repented of your sins. And repentance, unlike being born again is a one-time event. But repentance is something that's lifelong. Because if you're saved, you're going to even feel the sting of sin against God even more. And there'll be a continuing action of repentance. But repentance is a bitter cup that every person who's ever been saved has had to drink from. Self-righteous religious people are the hardest to convince that they're sinful and in need of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. If you think you're all right because of your religious credentials and your common goodness, you've deceived yourself. And Jesus said, nay, but I tell you, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Those who die impenitent or without repentance die in the cesspool of their own sins and will therefore experience the judgment and the wrath of God against their sins throughout eternity. Now again, I'm sorry to say that there's not many preachers talking to people plainly anymore about sin, about repentance, and turning to Christ. And I know that there's going to be some theologians, if one would happen to run across this sermon, that they're going to object against such preaching by saying it's just too harsh and too narrow. But it's precisely the kind of preaching that Jesus commissioned his church to preach. You know what he said in Luke's version of the Great Commission? Listen carefully. Luke 24, verse 46 and 47. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's the gospel. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's what Jesus told us, the first church. Don't be deceived by false prophets who just preach peace, peace when there is no peace. Who prophesy of smooth things, who tickle the ears of their hearers. Here's the truth. You're a sinner. You're broken. You need to turn from your sin, have a change of mind about it, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, you're going to die in your sins. I'm going to save this next point because it's a little bit lengthier, because it has to do with saving faith. But mark this down. And you say, well, if you give us a little bit of this, I'm not coming back for the rest of it. That's a sin. That's the wrong way of looking at this. You have to be born of God. And the new birth always produces genuine repentance. But it also produces saving faith. If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have your sins on you throughout all eternity. And I want to go into that in greater detail, not next week, because Brother Grigsby will be preaching, but the week after. Have some discipline about you. Keep these things in your mind. Don't let them just flit off into the Netherlands. Think about the truth. And I ask you today, like I did last week, are you going to die in your sins? Or have you been changed by the power of God? And that change has produced a desire to turn and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's that simple. Repent and believe the gospel. Let's all stand.
Turn this off.